What does it mean to be a Christian? Have you ever heard of the term Christian? I'm sure you have. Yes, somebody has.
To be like Christ.
To be like Christ. Isn't that powerful? Do you know where those who follow or the disciples of Jesus was first called Christians? In Antioch, that is correct. And it literally means little Christs. Those who have become like him, who not just follow him, because to be a follower, a disciple, is those who follow the words and the teaching and the example of Christ. That is a disciple of someone. And the early Christians in Antioch were so successful in following the word and example that the people around them, the non-believers, called them Christians. It's a challenging definition for us today because there are so many that call themselves Christians that causes a lot of confusion and I think even despair. Because there are many that call themselves Christians, but there are few that follow the teaching and the example of Christ that manifest through their life. And those are truly Christians. And I would like to spend a little bit of time around this concept of what it means to be a Christian. Here in Matthew 4, verse 18, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I actually have it there at the back as well. It's always good to check if I type correctly. You know? If you have your Bible, I think the version... I didn't actually type it, I just copied it, so it should be correct. But nevertheless, I don't want you to get lazy. At the end of the day, it's the Word of God that is alive and powerful. It's the Word of God that changes people. It's not the voice of man. That's why it's important that we have respect for the Word of God. Here we read of an account of Jesus calling his first disciples. And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. It's very interesting how Jesus called his first disciples. And in that first calling, we actually see, in a sense, the whole definition of what it is to be a Christian. It is somebody that follows Jesus and then becoming something. And like I said earlier, to be a disciple means someone, or a Christian, it means someone who follows the teaching and the example of Christ. It's not somebody that subscribes to a creed or an organization or the name of a church that makes you Christian. It is those who have a relationship with God in following Him, His teaching, and His example that leads in a change that takes place. That is evident to all. That is what a Christian is. Jesus calls His first disciples and He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That "follow me" speaks about the relationship with God. When Jesus called those disciples, He said, "Come, follow me." In other words, come, leave what you are doing and come with me. Follow me. Come alongside me. Hear my words. See how I live. A relationship. Being a Christian, following Jesus, speaks about a relationship with Him, a relationship with God. That is the most important thing that we have in Christianity, is the invitation to have a relationship with the living God as we follow Him. And we see the response of the disciples. Immediately, they left everything and they followed Him. We follow His word, we follow His commandments, and we follow His voice. We follow His example then, and we follow example now as we follow His voice. You know, Jesus in John chapter 10 speaks about Him being the great shepherd, and He says something very interesting. He says, "As a shepherd, I will bring out my own sheep as I go before them, and the sheep follow me because they hear my voice." They hear my voice. Therefore, they follow me. And again, this picture of Jesus saying, "Come, follow me. I am moving in a direction, and you are busy with something. You are busy with your own things, in your own way, in your own understanding, but I'm calling you to follow me." And the disciples left what they were doing, and they were following Jesus. Jesus was going somewhere. And He was calling His disciples not just to acknowledge Him, but to actually to follow Him. And as Jesus was moving, He was telling them to follow Him. And that's exactly what they did. Jesus says, "I'm like the shepherd that goes before my sheep. And I call them, and they hear my voice, and they follow me." You see, the shepherds of those days walked in front of their sheep, not behind them. They were leading and the sheep were following. They were following the voice that they recognized. So our relationship with God relates to us following Him, His word, His commandments, His voice. And as we follow, we become. Jesus made it very clear. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you something else." You are fishermen. You are fishing. But I want you to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You will become, you will change as you follow me. I will make you. Following Jesus involves change. It involves change. As you follow, God will change you. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, where you come from. As you follow Him, I can guarantee you will change. Change into what? The question might be. Well, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is very practical. He said, "I will make you fishers of men." He spoke to them in a language that they understood. They were catching fish. And Jesus said, "You know, as you follow me, I will teach you to catch something else. I will teach you to fish for men." Not literally with their nets running out to catch people. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about something else, fishes for men. In other words, He was speaking about the fact that you are going to win souls. You're going to win people. You're going to harvest something far greater than fish. So as you follow me, I will change you to become like me. Because remember John 3:16, we know why Jesus came to the earth. It says it so beautifully, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will have life." And as we read it, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him might be saved." And then later on we also read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that what was lost." So Jesus came to save us, humanity, He came to seek and save the lost. And he was speaking to these fishermen and he says, come and follow me and I also will make you fishers of men. I will make you like myself. You will become like me. I was sent to seek and save the lost. And as you follow me, I will make you seek and save the lost also. As we follow, we become like him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17 to 18, we read the following. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's such an encouraging and powerful portion of Scripture that speaks of the fact that as we behold God, as we follow Him, as we are in relationship with Him, it is the Spirit of God that changes us to become what we see. As we see who Christ is, as in the mirror, it reflects on us and the Spirit changes us, transforms us from glory to glory. It speaks of this process of transformation. You know, the Greek word for transformation or transforming into the glory, it is here metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis from. We are being changed from one thing into something else, but something completely different. It's not an adaptation. It's not an evolution. It is a metamorphosis from the caterpillar into the butterfly. You've been changed completely. You understand what Jesus is talking about when he says that you will be transformed. It's you were fishermen. But as you follow me, I will change you completely into something else. And you will become like me, following Jesus. You are being transformed, it says, into the same image from glory to glory. It's present continuous tense. It is a process that continues in us. It's not something that happened once and it's all over, but it is this process that is taking place from glory to glory. It is from one phase to the next phase to the next phase. So it speaks about this process of being changed into the very image of Christ. You know, the biblical concept of salvation is not an event. It is a process. It starts with an event. When we are born again. That is the starting point of this process of being changed. And the consummation of that is when we see Him again face to face. But it is this process that begins at a definite place and then continues as we follow. As we follow Him and we grow in our relationship with Him, our understanding from Him, that what we see and hear changes us. Through the power of the Spirit within us. So the starting point is clear, and so is the aim. We have become a new creation that becomes like Christ. The new creation is not the end in itself. The new creation is kind of the capacity to change. The born-again experience is when we are being transformed, in a sense, from the old to the new, yes, but we have now moved from a place where we were bound by the power of sin and our sinful nature that made us incapable to do the things of God and to become like God because of our sinfulness. But through the grace of God, we've become a new creation, a small little spiritual baby that can now grow to become like Christ. That's the amazing thing about the work of God through His Son on the cross and our faith and that whole born-again experience, that we have now, in a sense, been moved to a place where we can become.
Because before we were powerless to become. And now we have moved to the place where we can change as we follow this process that continues in us from glory to glory. Through the power of Christ's sacrifice, His blood, we are set free from the power of sin. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are set free from the sinful nature. And that's what that scripture was also talking about. This process of transformation is by the Spirit of God in us, so that we can follow and become. But it also speaks of this partnership between me and God. Me and the Spirit in me. In Matthew 11 from verse 28, Jesus speaks, He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What an amazing invitation God makes to all. He says, "Come to me, all who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Again, this picture of come to me and yoke together with me. And we all know the yoke between the oxen and the animals of work that is pulled together to do the work, to pull the plow through the soil. And Jesus is saying, "I am moving in a direction, and I want you to come and follow me. Come and take my yoke. Bring the yoke and the burdens and the worry that wears you down." You know, in this life, there are so many burdens and yokes. There are so many things in this life. It's a race to become something, to be something, to make something, to have something. In this world, there's so much pressure. There's so much deadlines. There's so much stress. There are just so many things out here in this world that forces us to become, to change, to be. And Jesus is making the invitation. He says, "You are running in a particular way with all the yokes and the burdens and the worries. Come to me. Bring your yoke and your labor and your burdens and your worries and exchange it for mine. Let's take off your yoke and let's put mine on. And as you go with me, learn from me. And as we go together and you learn from me, you will find rest for your soul." Because this world will tell to us, no, you need to be, you need to become, you need to earn, you need to have, so that you will have rest. And even those who have and have become and owes everything, the fame and the fortune, you find if you read the People magazine and in this world and in especially this nation with their obsession about fame and celebrity, you find that their lives are dysfunctional, broken, full of despair and no peace. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me and exchange that for mine, for my yoke. Come and follow my direction. And you will find rest for your soul." But again, this beautiful picture of following. I'm going somewhere, and come with me, and I will teach you as we go along. And you will find rest for your soul. An amazing invitation of partnership with God. Following Jesus is a partnership with Him. It's positioning ourselves to be transformed. It's not, "God, you are going that way and I'm going this way. Change me as I go."
That's not how God works. God says, no, no, let go with what you're busy, with your understanding, with what the world will tell you to do, and follow me. Don't yoke with the world and what they say and what they do and what they feel, but yoke with me and come with me. In whichever direction that might be, just come with me. And as you come with me, I will teach you. And you will become. And you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the starting place is clear and so is the aim. But it is a partnership. It is a partnership. And in that comes the challenge because of our own will. You know, what will we do? See, the powerful thing about a yoke is if you yoke together with somebody, it doesn't give you the freedom to go your own direction, does it now? And that for many of us is such a great challenge because we know where Jesus are going. It's not where the world is going. The wisdom of God is foolishness to this world. And Jesus, by this powerful invitation, is also kind of making it very clear that, you know, I'm not calling you to come alongside me. I'm calling you to yoke with me. And within that yoke, you know, you've got to kind of go where I go. But don't worry. I will teach you. It might not make sense to you. That's what you do in the old days. You would take a young ox and you would yoke it together with an experienced one. You would take one that is not used to plowing. And then you would yoke it together with a stronger ox who are used to plowing. And therefore you're going in the same direction. You would never take a stronger ox that's never pulled in a straight line and put it with a weaker one, because that would be chaos. So God calls us to yoke with Him and to move with Him. The challenge is we have a choice to make, you know. But that's the amazing way God works with us. I mean, even Christ in His example in the garden, when He pleaded with the Father, He said, Father, if it's at all possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Father, I submit myself to you in your ways. And, you know, following Jesus involves that also. It is this step of faith that we take in the midst of this world. Say, yes, God, I choose to trust you. Because isn't that what faith is really all about? Is that I really trust your word and your character. And I place my life in your hands. And you know what? That's the challenge of following Christ. Am I going to follow you? Or am I going to follow my own understanding? Am I going to follow your word and your way? Or am I going to follow my own way? That is how we grow. That is how we position ourselves to be changed. It is a partnership. I follow, and God changes me. That's where change happens. Transformation happens in this place of partnership, of trust, and moving with. It is not the knowledge of the truth that changes us. It is the application of the truth that changes us. And as we apply, as we follow, we change. In Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6, God reveals something wonderful here
As Paul writes, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you all, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, for being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we quote that so many times and we say, you know what, don't worry, God is faithful, he will complete what you start, but we forget the context in which it was written as you partner. It's like all things, what is Romans 8, verse 28, that other thing that we quote so often. Romans 8 that says everything works together for the good. Isn't that so encouraging? Don't worry. Everything is going to work out. But we never read it in context when it says, as powerful as for we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. It's one of the most powerful scriptures for me. It's just the bigger picture of salvation. I do it always. If you've done Perspectives, Foundation 1, you know my little drawing. Jesus coming into the world as the only begotten Son to become the firstborn of many brethren. What an amazing picture of salvation. God's plan for us. So that we can be conformed. And all things will work for the good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those who are moving with him. So that God will use everything around us so that we can be conformed into the image of his Son. That is the gospel. That is the invitation. God says, come yoke with me and I will make all things work together for you. To be changed. Not all things are going to work together so that I can have what I want. No. But all things will work together so that I can change. So as we trust and as we follow. But what is so powerful about this is that God is committed to this process of change. Paul says, I'm confident that what God has started in you, the day you yoked with him, the day you started to follow him, he is committed to see this process finish in you. He will make all things work together so that you can be changed, so that you can become, so that you can become one of the many brethren. What an amazing invitation. God is calling you again today. He calls us every day when we wake up to follow him. I want to encourage you every day when you wake up to thank God for that invitation of Christ on the cross that sets us free from everything that inhibits us, disqualifies us from becoming. And then just embrace God. Say, God, I want to take your yoke today. You know, I personally, when I face struggles and turmoils and worry, what a liberating experience to go to God and say, God, I do not understand. I do not know what to do. This worry, this stress, this concern about life, about what to do, what to eat, where to live, what to wear. God, I do not know, but I thank you, God, that I know that you are committed to me. And I do not know, I do not see, I do not understand, except your invitation. God, I pray that you will show me as I follow you. Like Peter, when everybody was offended with Christ and everybody was leaving him, Jesus asked his disciples, are you also going to leave me? And Peter responded, but where shall we go? Only you have the words of life. You know, what an amazing experience every day to come to God in the midst of our confusion, and our stress and our worry and say, God, I do not know, but I thank you that you know, God. I pray that you will teach me. As I lay these things down, God, I choose to follow you. I choose to yoke with you, and I ask you to teach me today your ways, your heart, your life, God. Because I know where you lead, like David says in Psalm 23, there is life. There is life. And even if that leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I fear no evil because I was following you. And I know, God, as I'm following you, you will make all things turn for the good. Even if I have to go through this valley. Because I'm following you. What an amazing invitation God give us. I'm going to give us an opportunity this morning again just to respond to that amazing invitation to follow. As Gibby comes to worship, let us just spend some time and reflect on his word. Father, we want to thank you for your amazing word. We want to thank you for your amazing love for us. God, I want to thank you that you have come to give us life, and life in abundance, to overflow, God, more than we can ask or imagine, God, more than we can comprehend, God. You have come to give your only Son so that we may have that life, not just in eternity, God, but starting today, in this process, God, to grow more and more into this life that you have come to establish. Surely, God, it is far more than the stress and this race and the struggle and the mistakes and the regrets that we face in this life, God. You know, God, how you created and how it was destroyed, God, distorted. And yet, God, you have sent your Son so that we can be free of that and its consequence and grow in our relationship with you until we become to that place of fulfillment in you, God. And when we stand before you one day, God, we thank you for that invitation for life. And God, so many times in this life we get so burdened by the things in this world, God. And the reality of it, God, what we must do and what we must have and what we must eat and where we must live, God, and the stresses and the pressures, God, of life around us and what the world says is success and what we need. And sometimes, God, we just get so burdened and worried. And God, is in moments like these when you invite us again to come to you with all that worry and all that burden and all that confusion. And just lay it down at your feet again and say, God, we do not know. God, we just want to take your yoke again and follow you so that you can teach us again, God. And then we come to a crossroad again in our life, God, and all these things pile up. God, I thank you that every time you speak to us, the same words, come and follow me. Come exchange those things with my yoke. And as we are here today, I really believe God is speaking to some of us here that are weary. That are burdened down by worries and this life. And God is just saying, come to me again. Come and lay down those things at my feet and take my yoke upon you. And I will teach you. While we are praying, if that is you today, I really want to give you an opportunity to respond to him today. Just to lay down those things before him. And to make an exchange. God has been speaking to you. I'd love to pray with you as you act on that word. As you apply it to your life. I'm going to invite you just to come forward. And I'm just going to pray a blessing over you as God makes that exchange in your life.